All right. Good afternoon. So, I wanted to start out with a statement that's on the board. It says, the person who resolves to please God and who regulates his behavior in the light of heaven must have direction from the one who created music. Now, this is obviously speaking of pleasing God on the subject of music. So, I think there's some interesting words in there. The light of heaven, and who regulates his own behavior. All right. So that's the theme or the statement. I'm going to start out with an appeal for participation today, because I'm going to try to use a teaching method of question and answer. So I'll try to ask somewhat possibly provocative or questions that don't have easy answers, and then we'll need to flesh them out. So please participate. And we might raise more questions than we get answers in 3 45-minute classes if you're in each one. This is a condensed version of a condensed version of this of the class on music. And so hopefully we can just hit the high parts and still get something good. Okay, so listen to this. So one more thing before I say that. I am not at all even attempting to change your preference of music, your preference of style of music, because that's where the most controversy around music comes in, I think, is on style of music. So I'm not even going there. But this is more where I am. I do not want to be your judge on music. I do not want to be your filter of the music you listen to or sing. And I refuse to be your policeman of the music you listen to or sing. But the goal of this would be to push you to be intentional about the music you sing or listen to, so that at least you're aware of what's happening to you or what's happening around you with music. All right? So I want you to be your judge. I want you to be your own filter and your own policeman. But in order to do that, you got to sort of understand what's happening, right? All right. So to get rolling here, I would like to give out a few verses and volunteers who take those verses to read them would be willing to be the ones to give an opinion on them also. Some of them have to do with a question. So, first one is Revelation 5, verses 9 through 10. You just need someone to be brave, to volunteer. Revelation 5, 9 to 10. Gotcha. What is your name?
Alfie.
If I say your name and look in a different direction, don't be offended. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5. Anyone? Gotcha. Linda. All right. Matthew 12, verses 34 to 37. No one wants to catch my eye. Okay. 12, 34 to 37. Ladies, you're more than welcome to help. 2 Corinthians 5, 10. Okay, what is your name?
Jesse.
And let's see. Two more. Leviticus 10, 1 to 3. Mara? You game? Okay. And Proverbs 15:8. One more. Okay. Gloria. All right. So, just to get rolling, I'm going to ask you on the first. So, the first page I gave you, which is the one with the blank, what this actually is homework. Okay. So, what I would want you to do is to fill it out from today, before today, and then fill it out after on next Friday and see if anything has changed in your mind. Okay, so first of all, we just need some quick answers on why people sing. Okay, they sing to worship. Let's give some examples of what singing to worship is. Or maybe a song. That's a sing to worship. We have to go fast on this part.
Are you talking about singing in church?
Anywhere. Or composing for the song. Okay, singing in church, that's your answer. Okay. Okay. Any others? Can you think of a song that's singing to worship? Oh, for a heart to praise my God. All right. Okay, what about to testify? If you're singing to testify, what is that? Can you think of a song? Any others? Since I have been redeemed. Blessed assurance, Jesus. Okay.
Blessed assurance, Jesus.
Perfect. What about to remember? Singing to remember. Okay. You're remembering the crucifixion. Exactly.
Maybe the ABC song for first graders.
Okay. Sounds good. To sharpen your skills. Okay, what about to teach? Singing to teach.
How shall the young secure the heart of his spouse? Okay. Talks about teaching from the Bible.
Okay.
What's that say? That Psalm 25? Teach me, O Lord, to number my days.
Okay, yeah. I think to testify and to teach can be kind of crossover, like the song, When There's Love at Home, could be possibly testimony and teaching. Okay. All right, anything else that anyone has that they wanted to say on those? All right, so turn that paper over, and on the very bottom, you have 1 minute to write down, just in the blank part, there's no lines. You have 1 minute to write down your pre-class standards of music for yourself. What have you decided for yourself that are your personal guidelines on music? Okay, you got 1 minute. If you have not, then don't write anything. But if you have, write something. All right, 1 minute. So, it doesn't matter if you don't have it all written down. The point of the exercise was to find out, do you have one? Do you have any? Do you have any pre-class, pre-1 minute ago, personal guidelines, personal commitments on music? Or are you just winging it? So, one of the points I really want to make is that don't just be winging it. Because music is powerful. Yeah. Alright, so could someone please give me... I'd like you to just... I need two sentences out of you. I don't care what they are. Two sentences. Anybody? Two sentences. Easy.
Drive a car, read a book.
Okay. Now, someone compose me two verses of song. Let someone compose me two scores of music. Aren't you Fanny Crosby? So, what's the difference? Someone, those two questions, what's the difference?
Our interest.
Okay, that's a thing, but that's not what I'm thinking of.
Discipline.
Okay, that gets us part way there.
The depth and thought.
Okay, so did you mean the discipline it takes?
Yeah, it takes more discipline.
Yeah.
Right.
So music is something that actually has to be done. Right? Like you actually have to think about. It's something you've got to pull out from... What was it again? Drive a car or something.
Drive a car, read a book.
That took very little of his cognitive abilities to come up with, right? But now if he would compose just two scores of music, how much of his cognitive ability would it take? Now maybe you don't know how, but someone who knows how. I mean, so the point is that music is something that needs to be done, so it comes from deep within, right? It's something that you have to contemplate. It's kind of like famous works of art. Did they just happen? A lot of them have an agenda that they're trying to portray, and they're not just an accidental thing where the painter grabbed his brush and just started randomly painting. Until this masterpiece that's worth, you know, $2 million popped out suddenly. No, it's something he did. So the point is that music, like other things of art, comes from what you are, what you think about, what you care about. And if you look at music in the world today, that is obvious. The agenda of music is very clearly stated. All right. Anybody want to elaborate on that or challenge me? Feel free.
If you don't believe in that, try writing a song.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure y'all believe.
Well, I'm fine if you don't. You just have to be willing to argue the point. So Alfie, right? Would you mind? So here's the question. In this verse, it talks about the song of the redeemed. What is that? So would you read us those verses, and then let you and maybe everyone help us understand that.
Was it 9 and 10?
Yeah.
And they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth."
Okay, so they were singing a song, and it says that they were redeemed. They say to God, "Thou hast redeemed us." Or is it to Jesus? Is it to God?
To God.
To God, "Thou hast redeemed us." So they are the redeemed, and they're singing a song. What is that song? It's a new song. What is it? Right? Redemption, a song of redemption, that's right. What else do you think it was? Are you boys here to teach my class? Yeah.
This is also a song of worship.
Okay, yeah. An acknowledgement of what God had done, yeah. So the song of the redeemed. The new song. Any other ideas? We're speculating in some ways of what that is. Possibly a song of thankfulness. I mean, after they've gotten through to the point that now they're standing in front of God in a redeemed situation. I mean, they've gone through a lot of experience that we're looking like forward to. Now they're, at this point, they're through that as in a redeemed state. What are they singing?
So if you look at the context, the verse 2 of the same chapter says, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals?
Yeah.
And their song gives the answer. Now we're worthy.
Yeah.
Because God has redeemed us.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Anyone else? Okay, let's go on to the next one. How would you describe the song of fools? So Lyndon, Ecclesiastes 7 verse 5.
It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools.
Okay. Rather be rebuked by the wise than to hear the song of fools. What is the song of fools? Again, we have to define it for ourselves here. There's no right. I mean, I don't have the answer. Sorry?
Meaningless.
Meaningless? Okay. Meaningless. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Filled with noise.
Okay, filled with noise. Does that mean low in positive content?
Or better if you have music with it.
Okay.
Song of Revelation was Christ-centered, God-centered. Song of Fools was self-centered.
Okay. That's good. Song of Fools, anyone? Depictions of sin, possibly? Glorification of sin? Hmm?
I just kind of think country music.
Okay.
I don't find that I've heard lots of country music, but was under a degree of influence to it one time.
Yeah. So, the Song of Fools is country music. Is the Song of Fools? Okay. I'm game. Yeah.
If we're talking about the beat, often the beat works under emotions. If you're like instrumental anyway, I can do that as well. Get your emotions going, and it doesn't bring you into a spirit of worship.
So a song that jacks up your emotion, okay, is the Song of Fools. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Can be.
All right.
I don't know if it's always, but it can.
All right. Song of Fools. This is important. Because it's better to be rebuked by the wise than to hear the song of a fool. I don't like being rebuked, wise or otherwise. I think the glorification of sin is one of the biggest ones. And a downplaying of the sacredness or the holiness of God or His program.
I think it is deception.
Deception?
So, the mixture of truth, which I would put under CCM.
Okay. Good, I have an ally, it sounds like. Alright. So, I'm sorry, but we're just going to have to keep going. Anyone else have a song of something about Song of Fools you'd like to say? So we're going to jump away from that sheet now. That sheet is your homework. Okay, so let's go to the other one. And again, please don't read ahead. I don't want you to be able to contemplate. Because we are well-taught people. So we'll see how it goes here. So we're gonna do a little bit of a mind experiment here, I'm not sure what you'd call it. That's one thing. I'm gonna pretend that you as a group were witnessing in the park last night and singing, and I was converted. All right, here I am. I'm a new convert. And I have some questions for you. Now remember, as a new convert, I probably don't know the correct. I might be awkward, right? You all are so well trained and well behaved and know what's the right and wrong things to say and do. I'm probably black and white because I don't know. I don't really know your socially accepted lines, your norms in your Anabaptist culture, and I am easily influenced. Okay? So, one of you gave me this book by John Koblentz. It's Music and Biblical Perspective. And you also gave me a copy of a Hope Singer CD. And so I have those two. It's been a few days, I guess, and I'm, you know, I've had time to read some, but so I'm asking you, after reading this, is music an expression of the heart like actions that I am accountable for? So the music I listen to and the music I participate in, am I accountable in a right or wrong sense? Is it a moral situation for me? Here I am. I'm asking you, is that? So, am I?
Yes.
Okay. Why?
Music you listen to and sing is part of your actions. It's part of what the expression of who you are, and it can glorify God. It can glorify self.
But I didn't compose the music. I'm just singing it.
It still influences your thinking pattern. And
so I'm guilty for someone else's composition.
You're only guilty for your own actions.
Okay.
I mean, we choose to do what we do. I mean, it's not just something that, oh, well, he made me do it. We're each one responsible for our actions. And by our actions, we're going to be called to account, whether that's singing wrong songs, listening to wrong music, whatever it is.
Okay.
We're not guilty for the person who wrote the music. We're only guilty for our singing or listening to the music if we know it to be wrong.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit like reading a book. We're not necessarily responsible for the person who wrote it, but we are responsible. If it's a bad book, we're responsible for our part in reading that.
Well, how far into the bad book do I become responsible? How do I?
As soon as you figure out that it's bad.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Or unless someone else criticizes or brings it to your attention.
Okay. So, James. So I'm going to look blankly at the middle distance. Are you James? Okay, would you read Matthew 12, 34 to 37?
O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
Okay. That clearly states that we're accountable for our actions, right? The difficulty is that as a new convert, if I'm the new convert, what tools can you give me to judge that? Because I don't want to be guilty.
It's going to be hard to explain to a new convert that the music with it is wrong or the syncopation. Probably even take them to the lyrics and what the words are saying.
Okay.
And point out the falsity there.
Yeah. So if we go back and discern this song by whether or not it's a song of the redeemed versus a song of fools might be a place to start. Let's hear 2 Corinthians 5:10.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
Yeah. So, it's a little more gray when we're singing a song someone else composed. But what if I'm the composer? If I compose a song of fools, what does that reveal about me? That's what it reveals. But if I compose a song of the redeemed, now there's where it gets tricky. Can I, as a fool, compose a song of the redeemed? You have to be very, very discerning, and because I can write the words of the redeemed. Because there's an illustration that if the devil was standing beside me here, let's say he was, and he said to you, God is love, would he be telling the truth? Would he be giving us truth? God is love, right? But do we need to go to the devil to find out that God is love? Why would we ask him?
Well, even the angels believe. So he's part of that package, he believes.
Yeah. So he would be telling us truth. God is love, no matter who says it. That's a reality of fact.
One interesting thing that just went through my head is the same Bible verse that says that the devils believe also, that says they believe and tremble. So I wonder if it's more what happens, what that belief produces, so it's the obedience that comes from that belief that really makes the difference to you.
Yeah.
So the words can be good, but it's what it produces.
So I'm going to skip letter C there about listening to music 24/7. I think an oversaturation of anything probably hinders your ability to discern. If you're listening to music 24/7, your ability to discern whether that's right or wrong music is probably somewhat saturated. So back to me being a new convert. So I'm so excited about this new conversion. I'm thinking of getting a tattoo to commemorate it. I just want to get a cross right here in my neck. Just right here, just above my collar. There'll be a cross to commemorate my conversion. And I would like you to join me. Will any of you join me and do the same thing as a memorial to my conversion? Anyone? No? No? There's that lovely three-letter word coming after that. Why not? Or why?
Well, I guess there are scriptures in the Bible that say we shouldn't have marks on the skin.
Okay.
And probably my biggest reason would be because my body is a temple of God.
Okay.
He dwells with him.
But my motives are so pure. I really, from my point of view, want to commemorate my conversion. Why won't you join me?
I've seen from all appearance of
evil. Okay. Well, you're judgmental of tattoos. So what if I said, I'm going to get a full body tattoo, and I'm going to grind my teeth in points, right? And I'm going to get big earlobe stretchers. Would any of you join me? No, you wouldn't. It gets a little more... it's a little more graphic. Well, why is that? Can help me flesh that out? Like, why wouldn't you join? Or the person that does that, what's happening?
Isn't that too much a symbol of expression?
I like that word, expression.
Mind.
It's all right.
Not,
think.
Not self-glorification, but well, this is a question I had.
Fire away.
I don't know if it's better to ask, but this can become very, very controversial very quickly.
Okay.
Is it fair to kind of take Planet Trail off this question and take it to the principles of the word? You know, maybe you can commemorate it, if that's the right word, in submission or in service. And get it away from this thing of I have to show people by a symbol.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's a,
no, that's good. But let's go back. Let's go back to the guy with the full body tattoo. What's happening?
It's becoming an outward expression instead of an expression in the heart.
Okay. Or is it an expression of the heart? That's the question.
What's baptism?
Hmm?
What's baptism?
So that is an outward expression. Yeah. So the point of that is that what's happening inside I'm expressing or wanting to express. So if I don't want to judge everyone, but let's just say that for me as the convert, if I need that symbol to show you all, it's still about me. Right? So the expression of the heart comes out. It's easy to note that in a full body tattoo. And this person is probably desperately trying to express something. Or they wouldn't do such terrible things to themselves.
Maybe what you're trying to say is this happened to me not yesterday. Can't even remember what today is.
December 24th today.
Friday. I was just getting ready to leave, and the gentleman that we're working for, he's completely blind. His wife is completely blind.
Wow.
They cannot see a thing. Amazing what he can do with no eyes. But his hearing is so keen. So we were working there repairing a basement wall that caved in. And at the end of the day, he comes to me and he can't see. He said, you know, I noticed something about you, that you're always singing. And that is good. It's just an expression of your heart. And they're good songs. You know what? I never once thought about me singing. I don't even remember singing them. But he heard it.
Yeah.
And he wasn't by me. He was upstairs. But now that he says that, I do like to fill my mind with, if I don't sing, there's other things that creep into my mind.
Yeah.
And so what's in the heart will come out. Yeah. It's an expression. And often his songs, and I do think about what I sing, songs that what he's done for me. So maybe it's sort of like that it looks, he can't see,
yeah,
but he can hear.
That's such a neat story, John. Yeah. So, can I ever sing without it being an expression of the heart? Well, I don't want to ask that question yet. I think that will come later in the... So, anyway, let's keep going. So, the point is music, to a very, very, very high percentage, is an expression of the heart. And so if you find yourself jamming out on the aforementioned country music, you are expressing your heart. Now, now to be fair, we could have a big discussion on the neutral songs, like love songs sung to your wife, or you know, there's a whole discussion around that, right? But for the even that is an expression of your heart in that case, the love song sung to your wife. So anyway, but that's an interesting discussion. Okay, so now we're gonna shift just a little bit, and let's have that Leviticus 10 verses 1-3 read, Mara.
When Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their of them incense, and put fire there, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, for and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace.
Right. So, in that verse, you have these men offering fire to the Lord, which is a good thing, right? It's an offering to God, which we would say, which isn't that a good thing? But the Bible says it's strange fire. They offered strange fire to the Lord. And God didn't accept it. In fact, he sent fire to devour them and destroy them. Okay, so does it use the word abomination? I was double tasking and didn't. No? Okay. Okay. So, what would you describe as, in the subject of music, a strange fire? Offered to the Lord, a strange fire. Or is it possible, I should say?
There's plenty of songs taking God's name in vain.
Okay. That's not really an offering to God, though. Is it?
Well, I may be off the wrong track.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I've been wondering already about, there's a lot of Christian songs, but the authors and composers are living ungodly lives.
Okay. That's great.
You can sing a perfectly good song. Name any one of them. The music's good. The words are good. But if we're singing it for our glory,
yeah,
I think that can be strange fire.
Okay. So if is it sort of like in the case of, and I wouldn't conclude this so fast, but time is running out. If the devil said God is love, so if I am living in a complete, if I am a sinner, sold out to sin, and offer God an offering of since I've been redeemed, right? It's not. It's strange fire. Anyone? Did that spark?
Another thing you have here is mixing righteous and unrighteous. Another thing you hear is the song has good words, but the sound, the whatever, the beat, whatever is put with the music, sounds like devil's music.
Okay.
In fact, some of you can hardly understand the words, and yet, oh yeah, the words are distant words. Or,
yeah. Anyone else? All right, let's go on. The Proverbs 15, verse 8.
The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight.
So, the wicked are sacrificing, but it's an abomination to the Lord. Shouldn't he just be glad they're at least sacrificing? Or shouldn't we? I mean, it's abomination. Which I think God's abominations are one of the things that doesn't change from the new to the old covenant. What was an abomination to God in the old covenant is an abomination to God. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's the correct statement. Shouldn't we, God, be just thankful that at least they're sacrificing? They could be doing something worse.
But then you have God. I think that some of the reason why that might be an abomination is because maybe they're giving it thinking that now they're okay and they can go do something with it. Because it's sacrificed and now they can go with it.
Is there any depth to the sacrifice of the wicked? Is there anything substantial there?
Jacob and Esau.
Cain and Abel.
And God said that he had pleasure in the one and not in the other. It wasn't more because of the heart condition rather than the sacrifice.
Than what the sacrifice itself was. Exactly. Again, we're drilling down to the heart. Right? And you just can't fake it. You can't legitimately fake it. You can try. You can probably do a fairly decent job of it sometimes, but... Okay, so I'm going to jump ahead to point number 7. So, again, I'm the convert, and I'm talking to you guys, and I say, well, Chris Tomlin, which is a CCM artist, singer, his songs were sung 3.12 million times in American churches in 2012. Wouldn't this prove to us that those are good? That many Christians playing it in their churches.
Just because they're popular doesn't mean it's right.
Okay. But because they're popular doesn't make it wrong?
That's what to measure it up against.
Exactly.
Well, one other explanation I heard from CTM was Christian captives. If you compare it to the time of Moses, they made the golden image and they sang and danced. And it was a very ruckus time. And today, a lot of this music is ruckus and brings idolization of the composer.
Yeah. So point number 9, the song How Deep the Father's Love for Me, which I think you all probably all have heard or know. Possibly. A Christian rocker wrote this song in an attempt, and this is a state that this is, check me, fact check me. He wrote it as an attempt to bridge Christian contemporary and hymns. As an attempt to get to the more conservative type churches who are uncomfortable with CCM. This is a crossover song. Does the fact that a Christian rocker composed it with that agenda, does that taint the beautiful words of that song, How Deep the Father's Love for Me?
God created every person to get the music. And it comes out in a beautiful way sometimes.
It is so difficult. That, and you need so much discernment, because that is a lovely song. That's a lovely, deep, deep song. But if strictly by its agenda, we would probably have to toss it out. But by its substance, not.
We have a lot of hymns in our songbooks that were written by Protestants, by even a few by Catholics.
Yeah.
We don't know what their lives were. They lived 100 years ago. Fanny Crosby was very patriotic American.
All right, so we're out of time, but I want to do this one thing yet. Point number 8, and this is about the depth of song and possibly the motive behind them. Both of these two, I'm going to read you the lyrics of two songs. And I just want you to contrast them. They're both about the cross. Sorry, it's a little bit long. It says, what can take a dying man and raise him to life again? What can heal the wounded soul? This is song number 1. What can heal the wounded soul? What can make us white as snow? What can fill the emptiness? What can mend our brokenness? Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the Holy Cross, where the Lamb lay down his life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power of the cross. What restores our faith in God? What reveals the Father's love? What can lead the wayward home? What can melt the heart of stone? What can free the guilty ones? What can save and overcome? Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the Holy Cross, where the Lamb lay down his life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power of the cross. It's a miracle to me. It's a miracle to me. It's still a mystery, and it's still a mystery. It's a miracle to me. The power of God, those who believe. Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the Holy Cross, where the Lamb lay down his life to lift us from the fall. Oh, and mighty, awesome and wonderful is the Holy Cross, where the Lamb laid down his life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power of. Mighty is the power of. Mighty is the power of the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. I love the cross. I love the cross. It is a powerful cross. What can take a dying man? Thank you, Jesus. And raise him to life again. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Wonderful cross. By your wounds we are healed. By your wounds we are saved. Mighty is the power of the cross. Mighty is the power of the cross. Four times. Mighty is the power of the cross. Mighty is the power of the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Cross. So, okay, that's the first one. Second one is, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Can you contrast those two? And in what way? There's a key difference that I want to point out.
The one talks about the man that hung on the cross, and the other one talks about just the cross.
Okay.
The one is very repetitious.
Okay, one is very repetitious.
The one shows a response, or needs a response that they were doing.
Okay. There's another difference.
Well, it's a little bit like the beginning of it. You said giving two sentences. The why, that doesn't sound like a lot of thought was put in, a lot of creativity was put into.
Okay.
The other one packs a lot more thought into fewer words.
Okay.
One is like what's said, it's about me.
It's about me.
And then the other one is what I can give. Or... it's not about me, it's about submission.
And that is the point. The first one is a song on the cross, but it is about me. The second one is a song on the cross. And what happened there and the power of that. Any closing salvos? So take the challenge, fill that paper out, and then we'll see at the end if it's any different. Thank you very much for your participation. That was great.